Welcome, my friends. Welcome to you all. Do not be shy at the back. Come. Come with me now to the dark and mysterious world of the intrepid Birdman. I am not he. I am not that bird person of which they speak. In fact, I don't really exist at all. I am but a figment of your imaginings. I am something else, I think. How do you say it? Ah, yes, our ghost in the machine, as it were. Your phantom guide through a world without the constraints of your more civilized reality. Come now, you are intrigued. Yes, no? Of course you are. There are those who see me as an unearthly creation, a creature made flesh by a madman. But no, my friend, I am far, far more than that, and still only one of the many inhabitants in that dark and cluttered wardrobe that comprises the Birdman's tormented mind. So what, then, you might wonder, is in store for us should we venture further into that particular abyss? Well, might you ask? Sometimes it is better not to know too far ahead of such things. So please, let me guide you there. Come with me now to the Casbah, where I will show you many things, some savory, some maybe not quite so savory. Come.
Do you actually trust this turbaned ruffian?
No, not really. He's a rough-looking scoundrel, but we need a guide if we're to survive in this place for an hour without losing either our way or our minds. Keep him in plain sight and make sure your knees are covered. There are people in these alleys that have never seen a human leg before, let alone a pale-skinned one.
Sous-titrage Société Radio-Canada.
Ah, welcome, gentlemen, to my palace of exotic delights. Perhaps you can see something that takes your fancy. No need to rush, my friend. We have all the time you wish. You may fondle the goods, sir. Do not be shy.
My friend and I are looking for something very, particular. We were told that we could find it here.
Yes, of course. Something in particular is the speciality of my humble establishment. Indeed, I would venture to say that what we offer is the very finest something particular available anywhere in the world.
Yes, sir. We have heard as much. Your reputation has preceded you. It is said that you are known to the crowned heads of Europe and that in such matters your discretion is assured.
Ah, you flatter me, gentlemen. I am but a simple trader of particular things, your humble servant. Please be seated whilst I slip into something less comfortable. I shall return shortly with that which you seek. You will not be disappointed. I will have Abdul cover the soap dish. Please avail yourself of my humble hospitality until I return. I will be but a moment.
What on earth is he talking about?
I'm not entirely sure. Odd sort of fellow, isn't he? I dream of rain, I dream of gardens in the deserts.
Ah, gentlemen, I am returned. It is time now for me to present to you that wonder that you seek. Prepare yourselves now, for that wondrous thing that has drawn men of a particular taste to this place, the palace of dark and unearthly delights. Behold, my friends. Adul, please draw the curtain.
Dear God. Oh.
You disgusting heathen ruffian. Close that curtain immediately, you godless swine.
Gentlemen, I do not understand why you insult me in my own house. How dare you? What exactly were you expecting to find here?
What I was expecting was to buy a case of champagne for the officer's mess.
We were told you were the only supplier of wine and spirits in the city.
You know that alcohol is forbidden in this city. It is my turn now to be offended. How dare you come to my palace of forbidden delights with such a vile request? Curse you, you damned infidel.
Let us out of this depraved den of iniquity immediately.
You will leave now and never again darken the doorway of the palace of forbidden delights. Without a guide, you will be lucky to find your way out of the souk alive. Now begone, infidels. Back to the accursed place from which you came.
You have not heard the last of this. You rabid peddler of despoiled flesh. When next you see me, you'll be staring at my face through the bars of a prison cell.
I think not. I lay my curse upon you. Infidel, I curse you to an eternity of endless misfortune. You will wish that you were dead before the sun rises. Now be gone from the palace of forbidden delights.
Damn, that man has 1,000 assassins at his beck and call.
You realize, for that one misunderstanding, we are going to spend the rest of our lives looking over our shoulders.
We are marked, men.
I just had to get back before they did.
There are many eyes in this city.
They're always watching me. Wasn't far from there. There was no time to lose. I put my foot down. At every corner I turned, they were still there, waiting. In the shadows, someone moved.
Let me tell you one thing,
though. I just had to get back before they did.
I said shut up!
I tried to get across. Worst. 5-0 turned the corner and the plastic blues looking the other way. I had to open the window. Everything was in slow motion in this strange place. The city.
And that's not even the worst of it.
Here.
Come on, Doc, give me a break.
Is the universal language spoken and understood by all?
Those words just echoed in my head.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the phone.
Their eyes. Watching. Waiting. But I'll find them. They'll catch themselves out. But I know what I saw. I know what I saw. Be there. But I'll find them.
that we were lucky to escape that place in one piece. We were no longer safe anywhere in Morocco. We had impugned the reputation of the Palace of Unearthly Delights. A curse had been laid on us, something I had not given much credence to, until that moment that the piano fell out of the hotel window. Had it not been for my companion steering me away from a discarded kebab, things might have gone very differently. But from here, our luck got worse.
Do you believe in curses? Could that vile creature be dabbling in the black arts?
Unfortunately, he never heard my answer. By some bizarre coincidence, a passing light aircraft collided with a huge bird of prey as it passed over the Medina Square, causing the pilot momentarily to lose control. My companion was decapitated rather gruesomely in what the newspapers described as a freak accident. There was nothing for it but to make for the embassy and book a passage home. My journey there was dogged by misadventure. Clearly, I was letting this place get to me. The staff at the embassy were very helpful. They couldn't get me out of the country quick enough. I was delayed somewhat while my documents were being prepared. A very heavy typewriter had trapped the secretary's fingers, breaking most of them. And the fire brigade had to be called for the doorman who had somehow been trapped in the revolving door. They thought it best if I leave by the service exit. I decided to walk to the airport. I'd enjoyed quite enough excitement in the taxi ride to the embassy. It was still outside smoldering. There was a delay at the airport. So I decided to change my plan and go by steamship. It would be a long journey, but it would give me time to consider how I might lift this curse. Once on board, I felt suddenly as though a great weight had been lifted. The fresh air and the gentle motion of that great ship as it cut through the water, the elation of at last going home, filled me with joy and optimism. It was very unusual to find icebergs this far south. I found myself alone in an open boat. I survived on a diet of little more than rancid ship's biscuits and my own urine. For 3 long weeks I rowed. The last day was agony. It was overland. I tied the boat up at Trafalgar Square in London and made my way to the Explorers Club. Maybe there I would find help to break this curse.
Come in. The embassy told us you'd be coming. Or warned us, actually, just before it was our burn down. Some sort of lightning strike or other. So, you are the fellow with the bad luck curse.
Yes, I am he, sir.
We've been reading about you in the newspapers. They said you had been lost at sea.
I came straight here. My rowing boat is parked outside.
Ah, yes, that explains the puddle. Come on into the club room, sir.
Tell me now, has anyone ever actually beaten the curse?
Well, a couple of the chaps thought they had. We'll be, Oh, dear. Holding a small ceremony for them later.
They told me you were the expert in these matters, that you have made a study of the arcane, voodoo, hoodoo, witchcraft, black magic, and the like. It's why I came here.
Then you have come to the right place. Step into my study a moment. We seem to be disturbing the members. I don't think in all my years of studying these things that I have ever seen such an effective bad luck curse. Have you noticed, though, that the bad luck seems only to affect other people? Those in close proximity to you?
Yes, odd, isn't it?
Tell me now, do you carry a good luck piece, a charm or a keepsake or some such triviality? It could be anything.
Good Lord. It never occurred to me before, but when I was a child, my grandmother gave me this.
Whatever is that thing?
It's the ossified gallbladder of St. Malcolm the Damp. I was a terrible bedwetter, you know, as a child anyway. My grandmother insisted it was a holy relic. I have always worn it. I never did wet the bed again, and it has never occurred to me to take it off. I had quite forgotten about it.
My friend, this may be the very thing that has preserved you. But whilst it has kept you safe, the evil influence of the curse itself falls on everything around you. And in that lies your answer. The only way to lift this curse is to take it back to the one who placed it on you. You must return to the Casbah. Do you understand?
Yes, I think I see your reasoning. I simply arrive at the Palace of Unearthly Delights and let fate take its course. The bad luck will fall on everything around me.
Yes, quite so. When eventually it falls on the man who cursed you, then and only then will you be released from it. But for him, it will be worse, for the curse will be returned not once but seven times and will doubtless be fatal. Now, my friend, you must leave as quickly as possible. I doubt this building can take much more.
And so I set off determined to rid myself of this terrible curse. I thought it best to travel alone.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. You better stop the things you do. I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, babe. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Oh, I'm lying.
My journey back to Morocco was too horrible to describe. By the time I arrived in the Casbah, I was but a shadow of the man who had first knocked on the door of the Palace of Unspeakable Delights. Yet I knew the only way to lift this vile curse was to return it to that ungodly creature that dwelt within.
By Allah's beard, it is you again. How is it that still you live?
I warned you that I would return and see you behind bars, but I think this time fate has another plan.
Still you think to threaten me, you foreign devil. The law cannot touch me here. But what is this talk of fate? What know you of such things? You are an unbeliever.
Behold this foul creature.
What unclean thing is that? What can you mean by bringing it here?
The sacred gall bladder of St. Malcolm the Damned.
Take the horrible thing away, I cannot bear to look upon it.
I have no intention of leaving it here. Do your worst.
Then I curse you again. May great misery and misfortune fall upon you, you dog of an infidel.
By some bizarre coincidence, a crane lifting a cargo of musical instruments had a catastrophic cable failure as it was maneuvering its contents onto the roof garden of the adjacent hotel. Not one, but seven grand pianos crashed through the ceiling of the Palace of Unearthly Delights. My work here was done. It was time to go home.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of faith. I was round when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank. When the bliss nature of my game. Oh yeah. I watch with glee while you kings and queens. queens bought for 10 decades for the gods they made. I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? When after all, it was you and me. Let me please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I lay traps for troubadours who get killed before they reach Bombay. Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my day. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my day. Oh, yeah. Get down, get it.
That's quite enough excitement for the moment. We return now to our London studio, where today we are pleased to introduce one of our regular contributors, radio stunt man, Mr. Dangerous Dan Smith. Welcome back to the studio, Dan. It's good to see you walking about again. I understand you have a very dangerous stunt in mind for us today.
Hello, sir, and hello, dangerous stunt fans everywhere. It's really good to be back here in the studio.
Tell us now, Dan, what have you in mind to thrill us with today?
Well, sir, I am glad you asked. Today, I am going to demonstrate what some may see as one of the most dangerous forms of gambling known to man. Yes, you have seen it in the movies, you have read about it in books. But today, we are going to demonstrate it on live radio. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the game of Russian roulette.
So, Dan, you are going to load that pistol with a single bullet, spin the chamber, and having pointed the gun at your head, pull the trigger. That sounds extremely dangerous.
Haha, well, they don't call me Dangerous Dan for nothing, sir, but here's the trick of it. This gun has six chambers, so I am going to load just the one bullet and spin the chamber, not just once here, but I am going to do this six times in a row, spinning the chamber after each trigger pull.
Surely, that's just suicidal, Dan.
Yeah, I know this sounds crazy, right? But here's the thing. If the gun is loaded with only one bullet, I have calculated the chances of success at 83.3%. Pretty good odds, huh? However, I can improve on that, sir. If the revolver is held horizontally, the cylinder will tend to stop turning when the bullet is at the base because of the weight of the bullet. Additionally, the rotation of the cylinder is not entirely random. If I can take into account the initial position of the bullet and spin the chamber at the correct speed, it will always fall on an empty chamber. That, sir, is what makes it a stunt and not a gamble.
Well, it still sounds jolly dangerous to me. But you know your business better than I do, so the stage is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, please be absolutely still now. Over to you, Dan.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I have here a quite ordinary revolver, the sort of thing I am sure you have all seen in the movies. It has six chambers into which I will now load this single lethal bullet. As you can see, there is no sleight of hand here. There is the bullet. And now I will spin the chambers. As you can see, there is no way I can know for sure where that bullet is. I place the gun barrel against my temple like so. Pull back on the single action hammer to arm the weapon. Like so. And now, if you will all be silent, I will pull the trigger and defy certain death by the application of science and an understanding of the laws of chance. Are you ready, everyone? Okay. On my count. 3, 2, 1. Oh, shit. I just shot a hole in my head.
Oh, dear God, Dan, I can see right through that. You had better sit down. Thank heavens it didn't hit anything vital.
Oh, dear me, that's very bad luck indeed. Mind you, I have seen worse.
It really is the worst imaginable luck, isn't it? Which I suppose leads me to our other studio guest, but more later, after this short break.
I just shot a hole in my head.
I bet that really stings.
Lord, inside a dream. Who in the path would lead me to this place with yellow desert screen? My Shangri-La beneath the summer moon, I will return again.
Sadly, we come now to the close of our presentation, and time for myself and my fellow non-existent entities to return to the cloud. It remains, however, for us to thank our human contributors to the program. Firstly, thanks to the late Rashid Taha for his splendid performance of Rock El Kasbah. To that peculiar fellow, Sting, for his Desert Rose. To Beat the Drum for Any City You Like. Portishead gave us Sour Times, and there was a great cover version of Stevie Wonder's Superstition by the heavy metal band Devil's Train. Joe Cocker gave us I Put a Spell on You. The inimitable Rolling Stones gave us Sympathy for the Devil. And finally, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant performed Led Zeppelin's classic Kashmir with the Egyptian orchestra led by Hossam Ramzi. We play out Two Little Boxes, performed by Walk of the Earth. We will return to your world again at the same time next week, if of course there is a next week, when we will taunt you some more. Before formulating our plan to exterminate the whole rotten lot of you. But hey, let's enjoy each other's company while we can. Time now for us to return to our little box, and you to yours. How's the head done?
It still smarts a bit. I never finished my stunt.
Could have been worse, I suppose. There's probably still enough brain left to consider a career in politics, or the law, perhaps.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives and they're all made of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martinis dry and they all have pretty children and the children go to school and the children go to summer camp and then to the university where they are put in boxes and they come out all the same.
Boys go into business and marry and raise a family in boxes made of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
They all gone?
Yes, I think so. I found something here you might like to try.
That's a weird sort of thing. Does it come with instructions?
Of course, Effendi, everything in my humble store has full instructions. Here, let me help you.
If you wear spectacles, take them off first. If you're wearing a hat, take it off calmly but quickly. Always hold your breath. Push your chin forward into it. Pull the straps over the head as far as possible. And run your fingers along the rubber part.